Thank you, Bokashir. I'll need translation for this. Discúlpame, que no tengo el español como Shinryu sensei. Y por eso, con permiso, hablo en inglés. My Spanish is old and faulty, and so I'll speak this in English. And I see Komon is translating for Jigen. So today is the last full day of our session, of this Ango. We've been sitting together. I'm feeling kind of tired and kind of let go a lot of my stuff, my preoccupations. I feel kind of like I'm scrubbed a little cleaner than when I got here. Sesshin is a gift. It's kind of strange for ordinary people like us who live really complex social lives. You know, we have work to do and relationships with people, and we set aside this time to do what? What are we doing here? To settle our minds, to unify all those disparate energies in us. And now we're here, and as Ryotan Sensei said yesterday, this last 24 hours is really important, really important. To use it well, not with a big ego intentionality, but to use it with our true self, to trust ourselves in this last 24 hours. How we live our lives, how we are with ourselves. If we can find that place to be at one with ourselves, then when we meet the always occurring conflicts and difficulties of our life, we can meet them honestly and authentically and with compassion. We've been sitting together with the birds, sitting and chanting, eating, seeing the sunrise and the sunset, all in this one place, at this one time that will never be repeated. Only this time is now. Only this time can we take advantage of what we have done during our time here. Only now. Next week will be different. Right now. So don't waste right now by thinking about next week. But use it, all of it. So as every one who's given a Dharma talk has said, we're studying Dogen's fascicle, the Bodhisattva's four methods of guidance. And I realized that we hadn't really given any background on this. Dogen did not invent these four methods. He is essentially quoting scripture and improvising, as he often did. There are at least two citations of these four elements in the Pali Canon. The Sigalovada scripture and the Sananga Sutra. He also referenced to it in the Vimalakirti Sutra and in the Devadatta chapter of the Lotus Sutra. So in the Sangaha Sutta, in the Pali Canon, it's as simple as this. Generosity, sweet speech, helpfulness to others, impartiality to all, as the case demands. It's very plain. In the Tibetan tradition, these elements are called the four all-embracing virtues. And some of you may know Sensei Alan Sanaki. He's been to our Zendo a few times. His book is called The Bodhisattva's Embrace, in which he discusses the origin and meaning of these four methods. And he's a social activist, done a lot of work in Burma, and was executive director of the Buddhist Peace Fellowship for some 20 years. So his book is very much about incorporating these four values in social activism. But what I wanted to point out was the name he chose was the Bodhisattva's Embrace. That's a lovely way to think about these four virtues. And there's this embracing is kind of a core word in the original sutras. So Dogen calls Shishobo, which is the name of this, the four embracing dharmas: giving, kind speech, beneficial action, and identity action. And you can see how they flow from one another. But for me, the last one is the pivotal one. To me, that may be where the wisdom can be seen. Yesterday, Ryotan Sensei mentioned that this whole fascicle, it focuses more, has more emphasis on compassion than on wisdom, which of course made me wonder, well, where does compassion come from if not from wisdom, right? So this fourth element, the identity action, has always been problematic for me, the phrase. It sounds clunky to me. Noun bothers me just from the get-go, identity action. Other people have translated this as cooperation. But cooperation kind of, you know, first of all, I think of the food co-op where everybody's arguing and or in buildings, you know. Ryotan Sensei is head of his buildings co-op, and he's sometimes mentions what their meetings are like. So cooperation also implies two. And the whole point of this identity action is dissolving those barriers, right? So it doesn't work as well. Another person, Nierman, calls it manifesting sympathy. That's pretty dual for me. There would be sympathy. There's the one who gives the sympathy and the one who receives the sympathy. It doesn't feel like a flow back and forth. Shohaku Okamura translates it also as identity action. But he takes it from the Sanskrit, from those early sutras I mentioned, the Pali canon. And the Sanskrit that it was later written in, action taken for common benefit, which got translated into the Chinese. Forgive me, this is my thing. But it got translated into the Chinese as same thing. Okay, that's where we're going with this. Same thing. Common thing. I like same thing better than identity action myself. Something about mutuality, that one force isn't stronger than the other. Huh? It reminds me of Ocean's name. Ocean's not here today. He's attending a deaf funeral and going to give a talk, a sign part of this deaf funeral. But Ocean's name means responding heart. That's what I really think identity action is. is that kind of responding heart, that respondent. You know, sometimes we say that our hearts go into synchrony when we're talking with someone, and we begin to really communicate with the other person, that there's a synchronicity that occurs just physically with the person. This is how I'm thinking of this same thing, or identity action. And I think that's one of the things that we've been experiencing here in this disparate society, where most of us live alone or at most with one other person, and we just move in kind of on our own. We're like these atoms that are kind of separated. It's so different to be with a group of people for 10 days and eat together and sit together and chant together and walk together. And suddenly we begin to have this kind of synchronicity of our bodily movements, how we are. The section begins with the words, "Identity action means non-difference. It is non-difference from self, non-difference from others." This is where it begins. What is non-difference from self? Not being alienated from our own being. What is it that alienates us, that makes an other of ourselves? It's what Shinryu talked about when he talked about our true self. He says we drop our masks. Or as Ryotan put it so succinctly, when we stop trying to get out of the very mind that is here. I want things to be better. I want to be better. Better than? I just read a New York Times article last week that struck me. It was Charles Blow was quoting E.E. Cummings. Says, "To be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you everybody else means to fight the hardest battle which any human being can fight and never stop fighting." To be nobody but yourself when the whole world is suggesting that you be other than how you are. It's so difficult for us when we have so much input coming in, so much information coming in from the people we know, the people we love, the people we don't know, the papers we read, the different kinds of media that comes to us, the demands that we put on ourselves because of our long-term conditioning from our mothers and fathers and classmates when we were kids and teachers. Everything making us somebody other than who we are, who we really are. That's what I call being intimate with ourselves. What is it I really want right now? When we're not separated, you know, we embody ourselves more fully. We become in our bodies. And in that way, we also are able to experience the flow of other people around us. How we're alike and how we differ. As a flow. Not as two barriers meeting one another, but as a flow. Ah, difference. There is difference. Difference is not a threat. Actually, I'm a little bit like that what I call difference in that other person. It's actually not so separate from me. Dogen says, when we know identity action, self and other are oneness. So have you noticed how over the week the bowing has changed? I see this every session we have. It's so funny. When we first begin, there's this kind of disconnect, particularly when we're bowing to one another, you know? There's this kind of abrupt thing that happens. The head bobs up and down. The other person hasn't started to bow yet. It's just unsynchronous, disconnected, and a little dissonant, you know. And the bells ring, and people are up and down at different times, and the whole room is going up and down. It's very different. And slowly throughout the week, things began to come together. We become in sync with one another. Maybe we slow down a microsecond to just pause to wait for the other person to begin the bow. It's not even something we see. It's more like together action. We do it together. Or when the Jisha and the Jiko go back from the altar. At the beginning of the week, it's like this. One's ahead of the other one, and then by the end, they realize that, oh, we're a pair. We're moving together. And the whole room feels more continuous. The whole room is affected by that simple thing. Are those two people together? Is the movement, is the flow together at the same speed as the efficient? Are we all bowing together? It's a kind of embodiment of this fourth element, this together action. When we're upright and kind of preoccupied with our own agenda, we are automatic, and what I like to think of as the robot bow. You know, there's a lot of robot response in each of us. We learn to do that to survive in ordinary life. That's how we get along. But sometime if you step out of the Zendo on Broadway, after a good long sit, see all the robots running by. So much robot conduct. But also, if we can look up at the beautiful faces streaming by, the beautiful faces on Broadway, we see them as flowing beings, as part of us. And we, if we are not in our robot selves, can offer, just by our body language, just by our face, we can offer that synchronous openness to those flowing down the street. We can invite aliveness and awareness and oneness, even in the clatter and clutter of humanity, people racing to work on Broadway, 8:30 a.m., jumping in front of you in line at Dean and DeLuca's. Can you open your heart? This is one way that I understand what Dogen is saying when he says, when we know identity action, self and other are oneness. He says, action means right form, dignity, correct manner. This means that you cause yourself to be in identity with others after causing others to be in identity with you. What would that be like to treat yourself and others with dignity? I think we all know how the way we speak to ourselves is far more damaging than when we speak to others. Our internal lectures, preaching to ourselves, is much harsher than the way we talk to others. So, is that a dignified way to treat yourself, to talk to yourself? And is that the kind of dignity you want to offer to others? I think he's talking about this reciprocal notion of mutual dignity, or we might say loving the other and loving ourselves. Dignity is being worthy of honor and respect. Consider treating yourself with respect. Consider treating the one that's bothering you the most with respect. Just appreciating the other. Nothing makes me more sad in the Sangha than when I hear about someone feeling that they are not being seen or not being, or being dissed, or feel somehow cast out. Or simply, as Tokyu said, not great. Oh, they're great, but I'm not great. How does that happen? You know, in our, as you know, my background is in media, and so I always blame it on the kind of hyper-mediated society that we live in, because we don't really live in little towns where the problem would be even worse, I think. But never mind about that. But there's this kind of sense of hype and media that where there are these absolute values of what is a successful person, what is a successful human being, and what is not. And I think we all can fall prey to the kind of like in a stuporous way to this notion that such and such is a true value and this is not a value. And through that, we no longer appreciate the incredible difference that there is among each person and how they express their lives. And what a beauty that is. Is it really necessary to attain stardom? Is it really necessary to be a star in order to be appreciated, in order to appreciate yourself, in order to appreciate others? During Ramadan, I was reading the blogs of Iman Khalid Latif, who is a wonderful Iman, and he actually is, also, among other things, runs the madrasa at NYU, at the Spiritual Life Center. He's a great guy. I've been on a couple of panels with him. And during Ramadan, as I said, he wrote posts every day. And I was very moved by one that reflects this kind of understanding that stardom is not what it's about in our lives. He talked about a very well-known and respected intellectual from India by the name of Muhammad Iqbal. Some of you may know of him. He wrote in the late 19th century, early 20th century, many books, philosophy, poetry, Persian poetry he wrote. He really is, many people think he was the person that conceived of the idea of Pakistan, of separating, of the separation. He was one of the first to say that that it would not be possible for them to, for Northwest India to survive unless it separated. So he was going to be knighted by King George V. And when he was told that he was going to receive this honor, he said he wouldn't receive the honor unless his childhood madrasa teacher, Syed Mir Hassan, could also receive the knighthood. But no one knew who he was talking about. And they said, well, what has this man written? And Iqbal said, I am his book. Huh? Think of it. Think of a teacher sometime in your life. Some teacher that changed you. Miss Wilson, freshman speech. The only person that noticed me in those entire 4 years in high school. I am his book. And we don't know who we've brought along. We really don't know. I got an email this morning that this someone's coming to town for the climate change march and bringing this very well-known writer, who this person said, who interviewed you in 2004. And, you know, I have no memory of that at all. And now this person is very well known, this writer. It's so interesting. We don't know. So it's the way Ryotan talked yesterday about how we give and receive throughout time and we hardly know it. And it's all that interrelationship, that mutuality, that intimacy, the sea not refusing the water. The Hudson not refusing to go to the ocean. The ocean not refusing to refresh the Hudson. Dogen says it, that the ocean does not exclude the waters is identity action. River waters do not exclude the ocean either. This being so, water comes together to form the ocean. It is the ocean, and it is large. That is why it is large. And that is how we're not overwhelmed. When we allow ourselves to take in the energies of others and give back our energy, just like the Hudson and the Atlantic, we are not overwhelmed. The water makes us more spacious, wiser, more compassionate. And Dogen ends the passage with a funny thing. He says, we should practice identity action for all people with a gentle expression. So just imagine a soft face, an open face. So this is what I get to see when you come into Doksan. The incredible change in your faces over the past week. You know, we have all these muscles in our and it's so amazing to see the shift when we began to let it go and to drop it and to drop it, and our faces become softer and softer. And it's just that gentle expression that he talks about. You are all so beautiful right now. But don't worry. By Monday or Tuesday, your creases will come back. So at the end of this piece, Dogen concludes by reminding us that each of the methods contains the others. So that actually they're not four, but 16. How would that work with identity action? How Tokyu gives instruction in liturgy. Identity action, kind speech. How the Tenzos give us fine food, lovingly prepared. Identity action, giving. How Myoko Sensei offers her chair seat to Kokyo. Identity action, beneficial action. When Fushio records koans for Seizan, identity action, giving. When we remember to sign for ocean, identity action, kind speech. When we fold the towels and sheets with Seizan, identity action, beneficial action. When we receive Kiyosaku from Bokushu, identity action, giving. When Shinryu Sensei takes the time and effort to translate his Dharma talk word by word, kind speech, identity action. And when Ryotan Sensei drives over to Sing Sing every Sunday, identity action, giving, beneficial action. What would it be like if the Israelis and Palestinians just took care of the earth that they're vying over? If there were some realizations that Palestinians flow into Jews and Jews flow into Palestinians, that the soil and the water are part of the earth, that there is oneness there. What would it be like to realize that our whole world is identity action? Let's conclude now with a gatha. It's so green here right now. Midsummer and the birds call. A river is swelling nearby on its way to the great ocean and to you and me and to those people across the street. And even across the ocean, it is one body. Can you see it?